Hey, welcome back to The Rad Life. The one show, the only show that shows you what's happening here in our community with our man about town, Mr. Rad Gontos. We're in the calf. We're in the OC Talk Radio calf here. Where have you been, brother? We've missed you.
I've been trying to find parking, man.
Rad Gontos, for those who don't remember, haven't been with us that long, was one of our original lineup of show hosts for many years and did a show, The Rad Life, where he focused on all the crazy people that he runs across in this community. This guy runs in the right circles.
And there's a lot of crazy people in Orange County.
Yeah. He runs in the right circles. He knows the right people. And if you want to see Mr. OC, you want to see who's in, who's out, what's happening, cool stuff, fun stuff, serious stuff, he's there, Rad Gontos.
It's good to be back, man. It's, 2 years almost?
A couple of years through COVID. I know you had some other difficulties and other things with your parents.
Sometimes you got to prioritize stuff, and Orange County Talk Radio isn't necessarily on the top of the list.
It wasn't for a while, I get
it. It's good to be back, and we wanted to do this today because we said we were going to do this on the 27th, so here we are on the 27th of March. We are going to have a chance here today to just go over some of the formats, some ideas that we're going to be doing.
And what do people want to hear?
To give people, start off for a minute, to give people a little bit of background. You started on it, but this guy here...
here we go. Here's the long story.
9 years ago, when it was... dinosaurs and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago. Like 9 years.
Nobody knew what a podcast was.
This guy decides to have a podcast station. And I happen to fall into the trap of having a conversation with him. Next thing I know.
You were a guest
I was a guest on one of the shows. And before I left the parking lot, don't ever get caught in the parking lot with Paul Roberts calls you. If Paul Roberts calls you and you're in the parking lot, do not answer the phone.
That's right.
So you end up basically doing a podcast for 6 years. And it was an awesome experience, honestly. Like, people kept asking me, like, how do you monetize this with your interior design business? And I'm like, monetize? What's monetize? I'm not doing this to monetize. We learned by doing, by errors and omissions, so to speak, of what worked and what didn't work. And it was a really good run. And we got a chance to talk to some great people.
Politicians, people coming through town with book
tours. I just said
great
people. Let's not start with politicians, okay? But we had artists. We had people that were pursuit of passion for a career. We had people that were just servants' heart to the max. They were involved in nonprofits. It just takes a lot of different kinds of people to make this sort of very rich tapestry that we have in Orange County.
Yeah.
And we had a bunch of them on, and some of them have moved on to continue to basically champion certain efforts, whether it's homeless or women's advocacy, minorities. We had a lot of good... We had Geronimo's great-grandson.
That was the craziest one.
Okay,
he came through on a book tour, yeah.
Talking about the Trail of Tears. With the guy whose dad basically dropped the bomb on Nagasaki, only to find out that Nagasaki was not the original intended second target. And I'm just going to leave you with that teaser. But you
another guy coming through in a book tour. I'll tell you, that one stuck in my head. I'll give you just little things that flash
through. Paul Roberts is still talking over me.
That guy came in. His dad was not Tibbetts, the guy that piloted the bomb, the Enola Gay that dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. His dad was in the second plane, the backup plane. And then I think on the second bomb run over Nagasaki,
you gotta give some latitude to baby boomers.
Did we forget?
Because they forget and they embellish. The guys wasn't the backup plane; it was the second mission after they did not surrender after they dropped the bomb
on
Hiroshima. But it was going to follow the same pattern as far as the mission protocol. And so, to give people just a quick glimpse of what was interesting about this is, this guy's father was going to fly the plane with the bomb, because if you guys know your history, both bombs were different technology.
Yes,
They were not the same. They were basically experimental, different technology.
Right.
So they took off, and the mission basically, which follows the same pattern as the first mission, was that there were three planes, one that had scientists on it because it was such new technology they wanted to test, have somebody there observing that this from a scientific perspective. There was one plane with cameras on it. That was the photography plane to capture that.
That I remember, yeah.
And there was the plane with the bomb. So the three planes, first day, three planes flew off, dropped the bomb on Hiroshima and the mushroom cloud, the whole nine yards. The Japanese did not surrender. There was conventional bombing that was still going on. They took off to do a second run, and the target, I can't remember the city's name, I'll have to find it.
But it was fogged over.
It was clouded over by the smoke from the conventional bombing. And so they did not want to just arbitrarily drop a bomb on a city which they couldn't see what they were hitting, which that never made sense to me when you're doing some of that kind of bomb damage and devastation. But they then proceeded to the backup city, which was, in this case, Nagasaki. Now, the interesting thing is, if you look through history, you will find that there are no photographs of the actual implosion or explosion of the bomb over Nagasaki. You will see aftermath photos, but not like Hiroshima where you see the mushroom cloud. There are no photos of the bomb detonating in Nagasaki. And the reason is they got a new pilot that joined the squadron that was flying the plane with the cameras in it. So they were supposed to rendezvous at a certain altitude and then approach target, which was exactly what happened on day one. This time around, the plane with the bomb and the plane with the scientists rendezvoused. The pilot, the new pilot, didn't get the altitude correct where they were rendezvousing, so they had to approach the target without the benefit of the camera plane. And that's why we do not have photographs
of
the explosion.
I don't remember any of this. Well, here's what I remember.
Because I'm not a baby boomer.
You're just missing. Here's the one thing that I do remember, and if you tell me this is wrong, then my memory is clouded. His dad went on to be an Air Force famous Air Force pilot. I think he flew for JFK or something like that. He was just JFK. It was something like that. Something to do with. Anyway, so his plane, the point of the story is his dad's plane is in Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Being inaugurated into the Air Force Museum. Yeah.
And he goes back. And his dad apparently smoked a big stogie. Okay, pipe. I'm close. He smoked something. Mm-hmm. And when he got in the plane, he said he started crying because his dad had died years ago. Because the plane reeked of that smell of that.
He's remembering it more or less accurately, other than it wasn't a cigar, it was a pipe, it was tobacco. Yeah. But here's the kicker. And imagine that we are basically having this interview with the guy. And honestly, most of these episodes that we did were not really interviews. I refer to it as basically being able to sit down and, if you're from the South, you'll understand this more, visit with people for an hour. We actually connected and visited. And I think it's a lost art even more so today than it was when we were doing the show, where we do not sit and for the richness of the experience of actually conversing with somebody. The art of conversation is a dying, if not almost dead art. And I think that is probably the most I got out of doing the show before. And part of why I'm doing it again is because there is something lost. We lose something as a society when we don't communicate, when we start to become siloed and tribalistic, okay? We don't get a chance to actually explore the truth together. We don't talk to one another.
And if we shout at each other.
And if you think about it, when was the last time you actually had a conversation with somebody that wasn't predicated on some list of to-dos or some agenda items on a meeting, all right? So anyway, so the thing about that particular sit-down with the gentleman that was really, it raised the hair on my arm. It was like, I got
when he said that he could smell his dad 40 years later.
Right, we were sitting there and you could drop a pin drop because he's just sharing his story.
Right.
And he's saying about how the plane his dad flew over and dropped the bomb in Nagasaki was inaugurated into the Air Force Museum. So when you inaugurate a plane into the Air Force Museum, it's meticulously restored. It is cleaned.
Right.
Okay. It's not like you're just taking it out of the storage and putting it in there.
Right.
And usually they don't allow people to get on the plane. But because it was his father's plane, they allowed him and his son, who flew them there, who both of them, him and his son, had also followed the father in terms of serving the country. So here they are allowing them onto the plane. Can you imagine? You're allowed onto something that has a connection with a parent or somebody close to you in family. And then you walk in there and you could swear that you could smell your father's pipe tobacco.
Yeah.
In a metal plane.
Yeah. From 40 years ago.
Talk about memory. I don't know.
Sensory memory.
People know this or not, but I'm going to switch gears for a minute. I do design for institutional hospitality, senior living, whatever. Do you know that two of the strongest things that people remember when they're suffering from Alzheimer's and dementia is the sense of smell and the sense of sound, as in music. And if you don't believe me, just stop for a second and think, when a song comes on the radio and it conjures up certain reactions from you based on a memory that you associate with that song, whether it's a real memory or some sort of nostalgic memory that you affiliate with that song. And smell is the same thing. You'll smell something, you go, that smells like, if I smell Stargazers and Tuberoses, it reminds me of my mother immediately because that's what she had in the house.
Can I tell you my story?
Yeah.
So a couple years ago, my dad died, and I went to a restaurant several years after that that sold Detroit hot dogs. They specialized. They flew. There's a special kind of hot dog in Detroit. They fly it in with all this stuff. And I thought, okay, I don't know why. I was thinking of my dad, and I just thought, okay, remember, because that's where I grew up. We'd go to baseball games and stuff. And I go out there, and I have this hot dog. And the minute they served me, the smell wafts up. I started crying. And they looked at me and said, oh, my God, what's wrong, sir? I said, I don't know. And it was the memory, that smell. I hadn't smelled that particular smell in 30 years or something.
And it came back just like that.
Just like that. It was weird. Overwhelming.
Yeah. And I would think that the weeping or the crying was also a mixture, a myriad of emotions all flooding at the same time, probably.
Yeah, right? I'm remembering my dad, I'm missing my dad, and all this stuff,
So the reason why...
A hot dog, that's how I remember my dad, a hot dog.
The reason why we're deciding to do the show again is, in part, like I said, we don't talk anymore.
Yeah.
And we, if you've been on this show, and I would like to put this out now, next time we have the show... I would love to have people call in that have been on the show and share their experience being on the show.
We can do that.
A lot of you guys that are out there that have been, that honored us with your presence, I'm probably going to reach out to you. And I know some of you guys, especially if you're running for office or you ran for office or you held office, you're continuing to be involved in the community. You might even be up for re-election or what have you. And the one thing this show basically did, which I hope you guys took this away from it the same way as I did, is when you want somebody to represent you, and let's forget for a minute that we have this stupidity, almost death wish, of being tribalistic, okay? Let's just say that we really want to have somebody that represents us that we get to know. How the heck do you get to know somebody if you're going to a debate and all you get is 1 minute answers for questions, and there's three or four of them, and so basically... And to be fair to you guys that are candidates, how do people even get to know you? What, through the print ads and the social media postings
and your latest TikTok
soundbite?
Yeah, it's just practice.
So we, starting with me, what I felt is that when I basically was having a chance to sit down for, at that point, was an hour show, you got to know that person. Whether it was a candidate for office, whether it was somebody who was sharing a life experience or a legacy or whatever it was that drove them, you got the chance to get to know them over a duration of time that made more sense. And we were able to maybe bring that person to the audience, to life, and give him a chance. And if you're worried, I'll tell you right now, if you're worried that, you know, we're going to lean one way or the other, I'll tell you right now, if you happen to be running for office and we reach out to you and say, hey, would you be interested in being on the show? I'll tell you right now, I'm a non-party preference. I have been for over 20 years. And Paul will tell you, I'm an equal opportunity griller and greeter. So,
and curious about...
And genuinely curious. Like, I'm not... There's no aha moments here. There's more of a, oh, that's interesting. Let's go explore that. Tell me more about that. Versus, it's a gotcha thing, all right? Nobody's going to do that. So, that being said... The reason why we're doing the show, really, is because we don't have conversations.
Yeah.
And we want to continue to have
conversations. You were on social media, on LinkedIn, I think. You're back at one of your trade shows for your interior design business. I think you were at the Merchandise Mart in Chicago or someplace.
Yeah, it was a shout-out to Powerhouse Smart, which is a networking group that I'm involved in, and we'll be launching an Orange County or Southern California chapter that we'll be managing. But it's basically a luxury industry group, and we had a conference. Our national conference is in Chicago. And I participated a year ago, and then they made me a national speaker, so I got a chance to address it again this year.
So what struck me about the post was exactly what you said and what you've always preached. You're sitting there in a lounge with a bunch of these people, a cigar in your hand, a whiskey, and you said, we just don't talk anymore. The art of conversation is dead.
Right.
There's always an agenda. There's always it's a back and forth debate. It's not a, really? Tell me more about that. Why do you think that way? I don't understand that. It's right. not a conversation. It's a demonstration. It's
imagine if you were that open to actually exploring other people's opinions.
Yeah.
So that you're not approaching it from a position where you got nothing to share with me, Paul. What are you going to teach me?
Yeah.
What am I going to learn from you? Why would I basically even bother to spend
I'm
the
just
time?
Going to prove my point or reinforce what I already thought. Yeah, right. You're crazy. You're wrong. You're stupid. You got nothing to offer.
So that's not what happens here. So if you're interested in basically just pontificating on your position, this is not the place for you. All right? This is where my genuine curiosity and interest in people, because I don't think you can fake that.
No.
Is where we basically get a chance to bring somebody in and actually visit with them. You get to find out about them, about what makes them tick, what makes them basically feel like they can wake up in the morning and contribute, what purpose-driven life is for them. And it's not a one-size-fits-all. There's no way that it's a one-size-fits-all. Every single person has something to contribute. Every single person, whether you agree with them or not, that's not the point. The point is, what else do they have that's of value that you could benefit from? Even if you never apply it towards anything that's tangible, how do you become a richer person for having engaged with somebody? And that show organically became this way, right? Wouldn't you say that, Paul?
Oh, yeah. No, we set up trying to have kind of a purpose that was supposed to be about getting aging, and because you're an aging in place, a certified aging in place, whatever that's called.
And when Paul told me that when we first kicked this off, I remember as clear as day, I told him, I said, okay, fine, but I don't want to be spending every week an hour, 4 weeks, four times a month, talking about adult diapers and incontinence.
Right.
I remember as clear as day, I said, no, I'm not going to talk about adult diapers and incontinence. This is not a show that is an infomercial.
Because most of our shows come with an agenda and a purpose to them. They're sponsored by somebody. They're hosted by somebody. They're there to show what they know and who they know. Yours was the only show we've ever done in 15 years almost where there was no agenda except you getting to know somebody that you were genuinely curious about. And that might cover anything. It might be a lot of it was luxury lifestyles and stuff, living the good life. Some of it was politics, because you're passionate about politics. Others, it was just an interesting story, and somebody came in and talked about something. So there was discussion about food, about living. It's like living a different kind of life than most of us live. Let's just be curious and meet people that are interesting and talk to them. With no purpose other than that enriching all of us because of that.
Yeah, yeah. It really was as simple as that. And we, like Paul is saying, we really relished in the opportunity to be able to do that. Because if you really want to be honest about it, in our daily lives outside the studio, unless you consciously go after putting that, infusing that into your existence, whether it's your personal relationships, or how many people actually have an in-depth conversation in their personal relationships? How many people actually open up or feel like they can be not personal, but personable even in their work environment, right? Everybody is in these little silos, right? And it's sad because we pay a price. We pay a price individually for being siloed, and we pay a very big price for being siloed as a community. The truth starts basically being subjective. The opinions and feelings become more meaningful than things that are truthful.
And we don't listen.
We don't listen.
I say something, and then you object, and you make your point, and then I object, and I make my point. We're not really trying to. We don't listen to each other. We don't certainly try and understand each other. I think you're completely wrong. Now tell me why you think that way.
And I will admit, I had to look at myself too, because I had a habit of basically, and if your brain is active all the time. You're having a conversation with somebody, and they could be saying something, and something that in what they're saying already has gotten you to your, I already have a response.
Right, yeah.
And so you don't wait for the person to finish. You just interject over them what it is that you're going to say, as if what you had to say, which it's not necessarily negative, but what you have to say is more important than actually having them finish their thought.
I have a habit of doing that.
And I do the same. And I had to be conscious about this, because what was happening is I was missing out on the rest of the stuff that they had to share with me.
Because we're in a rush to get to the point. Give it to me quick. We don't want to invest the time for an extended conversation.
So
that's what this is. This is a community conversation.
And the only difference being is we understand the realities of today's world in terms of attention, retention, and having somebody's attention for a long time. We're not going to be blind and say, okay, we're going to do another one-hour show. I think we're going to start with a 30-minute show.
Right.
And then we're going to let it be a little loose on the end, which is what we did before.
Right.
Where if we're in a conversation stuff, we're not going to basically cut it like at 30 minutes. We're not charging by the hour kind of thing.
Right.
But if it drags a little bit and it looks like it's going nice, we'll go to like 40, 45 minutes max here. But we are conscious of that. That being said, it's not about the host. It's always about the guest. So if you're coming in, don't feel like you're going to be overwhelmed or tag-teamed by Paul and I. We really want to get to know you. We want to basically sit down and visit. And we feel that everybody has something of value to contribute, even if it's not something that is transactional. And neither one of us is transactional. I think we're more relational for the better or the worse of it.
That's why I created this channel years ago. Ultimately, I make a living off of it, but ultimately it was just to meet cool people. I'm just endlessly curious. You said something I've quoted to other people through the years. It took you a while to get there, but you said, this is crazy, but this is the 1 hour in my life that I show up. I have no agenda. I'm just there to meet interesting people and to explore my curiosity.
And to that point, and this is honest to God truth, for 6 years we did this. So we have, and you guys can go on to OC Talk Radio's
They're all still up there.
YouTube, and you can do a search for The Rad Life, RADLIFE. And it'll give you all the episodes. You can see some of that stuff for yourself. Honest to God truth, 90% of the time, I did not prep for the show.
No, you just let it happen.
Because I did not want to have a preconditioned mindset to whatever somebody was going to share. I genuinely wanted to sit and explore.
Right.
Okay. And Paul called me an age explorer. I think he was, I don't know whether it was derogatory or not, but you know, I am, it is what it is, right? But yeah, it was a journey of exploration. And I really wanted for my, wow, that's interesting, to be genuine and authentic and not to be canned or contrived.
And sometimes it was interesting to watch it develop because, honest to God, sometimes I'm watching some of the shows, I'm listening to it, I'm engineering, I'm thinking, where is this going? I don't even know what the point of this conversation is anymore here. And it's veering off into weird things, and people are getting serious or they're getting funny or whatever. And I try and, in my way, try and pull it back to some point. And everybody's like, just shut up. Let's let it go. And then inevitably, you would find something at the end, and I would go, oh, now I see why these three things tie together. Oh, I never saw that before. It takes a while sometimes to find the point of the story.
Helps the fact that I'm not linear. Right? But yes, and hopefully, and I've had some people tell me this, but so I'm just repeating what they've said to me. A lot of people basically felt good about being on the show. Like, and if that was all that we got out of it, honestly, that was reward enough for me. Is that we enjoyed each other's experience and encounter, and we both walked away from it with something that enriched our lives, whether it's a new understanding for something, a different perspective on something, a meeting of the minds. It was really unscripted, mm-hmm. and it will continue to be that. It'll continue to be unscripted, authentic, courageous, hopefully.
Surprising.
Because we're not going to shy away from certain conversations, right? But we're also going to be respectful about how we have them.
And if you're willing to invest the time, there's often, not every show we can find that little nugget, but there's something surprising that usually comes out along the way. And you can see it on Rad's face or the guest's face. People go, oh, wow, that was cool. I never knew we were going to go there. I didn't know that was going to come out. I'll tell you another thing that just surprises me about the whole thing. Two things. One, Rad Life's been off for 2 years. You had some difficulties now. Your parents passed away and some other things, and that was a
I'll be very honest about it. When we started the show, it was going to be an exploration into aging because I felt that there are certain conversations that people were not having, especially men. Women, you guys are better off, better the way that you basically communicate and support each other. Men, we basically get into this sort of like very role rigidity. And so we did a show because I was trying to basically explore certain things. My parents were older. I knew that at some point I was going to basically be faced with them being illness or what have you.
Right, taking care of them.
And Paul, like I said, had just gone through the thing. So he was ideal poster child, actually, as a baby boomer. We had our own in-house baby boomer that we could bounce stuff off. But we wanted to talk about things like, and it went down that path. End of life, hospice, in-home care.
Your first guest was Casey Kasem's daughter.
Casey Kasem's daughter. Shout out to Carrie. Thank you very much for launching us back then.
Some difficult conversations about what happened.
Yeah. Elder abuse and her father. That's not an easy conversation. And honestly, again, a shout out to Carrie. The exchange with Carrie set the tone for how the show basically continued for the next 6 years.
Yeah.
Honestly, because she was steamed in that DNA, and she imparted part of that organically to us, and we just basically followed that same format. We weren't trying to copy anything, but she inspired, the way she engaged inspired us into basically doing the show.
Nicole Brown's sister's name? I forget.
Tanya. Tanya Brown. Tanya Brown was on the show. We had a lot of people. We got a chance to basically red carpet at the Senior Awards, at the Grove.
There was some fun stuff. There was some heavy stuff in those parts.
But we didn't shy away from the heavy stuff either.
No.
And we had the conversation where everybody...
So it's not just a fake, happy conversation.
No, but wouldn't you say, Paul... I can say that for me. When I walked away from those conversations, those were empowering conversations.
Yeah.
I felt a little less helpless after having these conversations, even though they were difficult conversations.
I know that in the old days, in the 1800s, in the 1900s, there were... people, usually they were socialites, celebrities, who would bring together a salon, a dinner party, an afternoon, and they would purposely invite people from different professions, a politician, an artist, a musician, a business tycoon, and they would put them in a room to do something that never happens, to see that kind of cross-pollinization. Sometimes it's edgy, sometimes it's entertaining, sometimes it's enlightening. But whatever it is, you're bringing people together from different worlds and letting them just talk. That doesn't happen.
And not knowing where the conversation is going to go.
Yeah.
And you may have side conversations in the case of parties. You may have side conversations that are interesting. I think the one thing I will also say that is going to be a little different here is right now today you're seeing us in studio, mic, headset.
Right.
There may be one where we'd have a guest maybe sitting across the way, right?
Yeah, typically, right.
But for me, after doing it for 6 years, and honestly, part of why I stopped doing it is, yes, I was dealing with some stuff with my parents, but also it got to be a little bit rote. It was like, okay, we've done this, or kind of thing, right? So it's not that for the lack of conversations that being interesting or wanting to have them, but I think I want to add another layer to this. I think I'm going to basically do a couple of things differently this time around. I think we're going to have some guest hosts where it might not be me who's actually sitting here interviewing somebody. Maybe somebody who's more appropriate. If we're going to have an interview, for example, and an occasion is maybe like International Women's Day, I think I'd rather have somebody who's a little bit more qualified to have a conversation about that than myself, okay? Or it may be an ensemble situation. It might be like the old, what did you say it was?
Salons.
No, but you said something about a show. Who was it?
Charlie Rose. Yeah.
Where it could be around round table. Right. Or maybe it's three or four of us sitting around a coffee table, having more of a lounge setting, an ensemble setting, right? Where people are bringing different perspectives on the topic. If you're going to have a topic about, let's say, housing, okay? I'd like to have somebody from the policy side. I'd like to have somebody maybe from the affordable housing side. I'd like to have somebody maybe that's coming at it from a developer side.
A true round table.
It would be a round table of conversation. There would be seats at the table, if you will. So we're gonna do that. We also have the ability now to do 3-camera setups remote at locations. And we're going to be doing that as well. So it's going to be a little bit more variety in terms of how the content is digested or basically collected. But it's always going to be digital. It's always going to be video. It's always going to be that. The reason I'm sharing that is for a couple of reasons. If you would like to be a host or you have a particular topic or something of interest, reach out to us. And as of next week, we will have a QR code. But for the time being, if you want to reach out to us, you can reach out to Paul through OC Talk Radio. How can they get hold of us, Paul?
paul.roberts@octalkradio.net. Or just paul@octalkradio.com.
Right. So send it to Paul. If you have, and we've had a couple of people already send out stuff. If somebody who wants to be interviewed, somebody's got a book, reach out to us with that and let us know. I don't promise that everybody's going to get on, but I think we would love to hear from you. I want that crowdsourcing component to also happen.
A diverse,
yeah,
a picture a community conversation. If the community, what kind of conversations will they want to meet? There's so many interesting people in this community, so many worthwhile organizations, so many odd things going on here that...
There's unsung heroes. There's people that basically are completely uncomfortable basically getting a spot and being in the spotlight. The one thing I will again insist on, do not look at this show as being a purely infomercial thing. This is not a promotional medium. Like, you got something that's interesting that you wrote a book about? Absolutely interested in finding out. And I want to know why you wrote that book, what motivated you, all of this stuff. We're going to delve beyond this. This is not the shopping network.
I'll give you an interesting example. You should have been a guest on this show today. I wasn't thinking ahead. There's a talk tonight, the World Affairs Council, which I don't even think most people know exists. And they bring, not every month, but every quarter, they bring in some figure who has an impact in world affairs. They brought in generals. They brought in politicians. They brought in people, ambassadors and stuff like that. And tonight, the World Affairs Council, you can go look it up, worldaffairscouncil.org, brought in this guy, Kenneth Lipper. He was the deputy mayor of New York City. Then he wrote a book called City Hall that got turned into a movie with Al Pacino, and he suddenly became a movie producer. And now he's an investment. He's got a big investment fund. He's played in all these power positions. He's an older guy now. And what an interesting, we did a quick conversation with him here. What an interesting cross. He's got different skills, different worlds he's lived in. He doesn't look at it from one just as a politician or as a banker or as a filmmaker. He's got different perspectives.
I mean, I'll tell you something, that some of the things that, for example, are very interesting to me right now. You know that we have five generations of people working in the workforce?
Yeah, we've talked about that a couple times.
Five generations of people never working happened in the first before. Force, right? Okay. Are we really genuinely engaging with those people on a manner that stimulates them and addresses their interests in terms of personal growth or whatever in the work environment? How does basically the fact that it's no longer even an option that we have to allow for hybrid work, and how does that affect things like HR? How does that affect things like how we basically conduct ourselves? Is there is there anybody doing etiquette for Zoom, for example, now that we are using it as much as we're using cell phones, right? That's some of the stuff on the business side.
How does a 65-year-old who's still in the workforce like me deal with a 25-year-old? Because we look at life differently. We have different
generations. And I'm sitting in a management position, which most Gen Xers are like me. Shout out to my generation, right? How am I motivating somebody who's you and somebody who's a millennial?
Yeah.
How am I addressing the fact that a Gen Zer is now basically looking to gain experience, but they can't really gain experience where they're threatened by AI taking their jobs?
Yeah.
How do we get them to a point of seasoning to where they continue to be contributing when the beginning jobs, the entry jobs, are now being automated? Understandably, okay? So these are things that are interesting to me.
And we used to pass down generational information. I'll give you another example. Last night I was asked to be on a panel for some crazy reason. They were looking for somebody with radio background. A panel at Cal State Fullerton for students in music industry or something. And I'm not technically in the music industry. I was a million years ago. And I was the only one my age there in my 60s. They're all 18 and 20. And the other speakers were like 22 or something, just graduated. And I thought, somebody commented, there is no intergenerational conversations anymore. They don't talk to their parents, much less their grandparents. And so we're not passing down knowledge.
But we don't even know how to have those conversations.
No.
Because we feel like maybe we need to be seasoned and experts in having the conversations before we have them. Maybe. Here's a newsflash. You got to have the conversations. That's the only way you get better at having the conversations. And when we basically have less and less conversations, is it any wonder that we are not communicating?
That we suck at it.
And that we suck at it worse and worse? Seriously, right?
Yeah. All right, we're down to our last couple of minutes. What do you want to tell people here about the return of the Rad Life?
So the Rad Life will be, we used to be at 12 o'clock on Wednesdays. We're going to be at 1 o'clock on Wednesdays. So it's just the same day of the week, which is 1 hour later. It's going to be shorter format. It's going to be variety options that we have at our disposal, thanks to advancements in technology, Paul Roberts' flexibility, and my stubbornness of not accepting the fact that I'm going to sit in front of an orange wall as a single episode, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the logo is the old logo. There will be more stuff like that. That'll be interesting. That'll happen. But honestly, reach out to us. Really want to have a conversation with you guys. Want to hear what's interesting for you. What are things that are concerns to you? We're in this together, and we really want to have the conversations. And there's really no limit. It's whatever you're curious about, I'm curious about. Paul, will allow his curiosity because it's scary sometimes.
What I'm curious about.
But that's it. So I will just leave you with this. This is a very powerful medium for us to have these conversations. Proof is in what we were able to achieve in 6 years. Not really having any goal or aspiration of what we could achieve, but other than to have an open door to having conversations, to really being genuinely interested in people, right? And it all started because this guy
opened my mouth, said, let's have a conversation.
No, it started even before that. This guy, which a lot of people don't know the background story for OC Talk Radio, but I will give him a shout out because it is an interesting story. This guy was doing PR and had like marketing and PR for a couple of brands. And if I tell them what it is, they'll know exactly how old you are.
Yeah.
Pool tables and hot tubs.
Those were big areas.
The time, hot tub time machine?
Okay. I loved it.
All right. So this guy basically, in an economic downturn, loses his two clients. Mm-hmm. And he goes home, and he's sitting
there. In my 50s. What am I going to do?
In 50s. And he's curious, right? But he's at home, and like what most people do is they find themselves gravitating towards the internet.
Right.
He ends up being on the internet so much, sitting there basically being a total no good doer or whatever.
Because I had shut down my agency. Right. It was a double whammy in the Great Recession, the one in 2008, 2009. My lifestyle brands took a dump, so they all laid me off. And the media took a dump. I'm there to get them attention in the media. There is no media left either. So it was a double whammy.
So he's driving his wife crazy.
Yeah.
Being at home. She's like, I didn't sign up for this. You're not supposed to be at home this many hours. How many people can relate to that?
Go get a job.
After COVID, right?
How do you get a job at 55?
Yeah. So he basically does something that isn't just out of the blue. It actually connects with his past. And I'll tell you what in a minute. But he basically takes X number of dollars out of his bank account, and he sets up this radio station.
Yeah, on a whim. When a six-month lease, I wasn't sure it would last.
Okay. Now, here's the thing that's crazy. This gentleman used to run a radio station at the University of
Michigan.
Go Blue. When he was in college.
In the 70s.
So he walked away from what he did for an enjoyable part of his college life, and he goes down this adulting path,
right.
And then he finds himself, how many years later, Paul?
Oh, 40 years.
40 years later, he is in a room doing exactly what he did in college, having a blast. And how long have you been doing this now? At least 9 years that I know of.
Oh, it's going on 14 years.
14 years. How long did you do your agency stuff?
Probably about the same length, 20 years maybe. Yeah.
So there you go. Talk about having the going on a journey, not knowing where it's going to end, not knowing exactly what you're doing, other than you're actually enjoying yourself, and in the course of that, finding a purpose.
To use a Hollywood analogy, I thought my life was in the fade to black phase. The movie's starting to fade out. It's fading to black. And my relevancy days were over. And suddenly I found a way to be not just cool and to have fun, but to be relevant again here and to find passion and curiosity again here, which I had lost a lot of.
So,
I was just doing the same thing over and over again.
So here we are again, getting ready to
relaunch,
take the journey. So we'll see you guys next week or the week after. We're not sure yet exactly, but because we want to line up a particular guest and its availability of that particular guest. And I will tell you, this is somebody that I've known for a number of years, and he's a friend, and started out as a client, but he's a friend, and he's written a book, and I really would like to start with him, because I think you guys, again, it's introducing somebody to you that you may not know, but it's somebody that's willing to share their journey. And I think if you have anybody you want us to consider, please reach out to Paul, give them the thing again.
Just send it to paul@octalkradio.net.
And we will see you soon on The Rad Life. We're back.
Ooh, that's a scary thought. tune in again to our community, our ongoing, our continuing community conversation right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.